in God's hands, it can be used for the blessing of souls.
Welcome to the Strength in Truth podcast. What is church discipline? Who is it for? Who does it? And what is its purpose? Listen on to a Bible study given at Bethel Strict Baptist Chapel, South Chard, England, on Sunday, the 10th of March, 2024.
The subject this afternoon is church discipline. Now, it's a difficult subject and one that I've been putting off for a while, but as we've been considering the church, it's not really a subject that can be left out. And it's something that is in God's word and is a necessary thing in the church. So what do we mean by church discipline? So when we refer to the word church, we don't mean the building, we mean the group of baptized believers that form the church. The word discipline, just taken from the dictionary, means to correct disobedience. So what is church discipline? What does the church do when it disciplines somebody? Well, it is to remove a person from communion with the church, communion around the Lord's table. If somebody is disciplined, they are no longer allowed to partake in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, and sit around the Lord's table with the local church. As with all these things, we need to look into God's word and see what God's word says about it, and see what the principles are and what God orders for his church and how his church should act and what they should do. And we read back in the Old Testament in Leviticus 26, even there the Israelites were told that if they didn't follow God's law, if they walked contrary to God, then he would walk contrary to them. And so a church can't expect God's blessing if they walk contrary to God's ways, if they walk contrary to what God has ordained in his word. So we just read 1 Corinthians, or the account in 1 Corinthians 5 of an instance of church discipline. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and there was a man there who was committing fornication with his father's wife. So I presume this was his stepmother. And Paul says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And this man was one of the church members in the church at Corinth. And it was reported commonly. It was a thing that was well known. It seems that everyone knew about it, but the church at Corinth were not doing anything about it. Paul says, "And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned." And to remember, this letter was to the church and to all the people in the church. Paul tells them in verse 7 to purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. He also says in verse 13, "Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." It seems that this man was unrepentant and carrying on, and the church weren't concerned about it, and Paul tells them to purge out to remove this man from the communion of the church. Also in 2 Thessalonians, and there in chapter 3, again, this is a letter of Paul, but to a different church. It's to the church at Thessalonica. Paul says this in chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. There again is instruction that they are to withdraw themselves from those that are disorderly in the church. And there's several examples, but we don't have time to look at all of them. But another example is in Romans 16 and verse 17. Again, this is a letter of Paul to a different church. But he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So we see that Scripture, if it is necessary, calls for the church to, well, the word withdraw is used, but to separate from persons in the church that are disorderly, and certainly in the case in 1 Corinthians 5 where there is open scandal in their lives. But when should a church member be disciplined, and for what reasons, and in what way should they be disciplined? Now, the Matthew 18 principle should always be applied. Church members should love each other, and there should be unity in a church, and they shouldn't be going around picking faults in other church members and looking at each other and talking about each other and what other people in the church are doing and finding all their faults. But the principle in Matthew 18 is that if another church member has sinned against somebody else in the church, or has wronged them, or there's something in their lives that another church member thinks they shouldn't be doing, then the principle is that they should talk to that person in private and tell them the problem that they have with them. They shouldn't be telling everyone else, but they should talk to them in private first, and if the issue is resolved, or if that person takes the admonition, if it's done rightly and if it's done in love, then that matter should not be talked about anymore. They shouldn't be telling everyone else about it. But if that person won't hear the reproof from the individual member, then it says about bringing other people to speak to that person. Several from the church speak to that person, and if they won't listen to them, only then should it go to the church. But it does obviously depend on the situation and circumstance, but that principle should always be borne in mind. As the situation in 1 Corinthians 5 was, where there's open scandal, and like the sin of fornication in this case, then Paul instantly calls for that man to be excommunicated. But we also read in Galatians 5 of those that cause trouble. So Galatians 5 and verse 10, Paul says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And then in verse 12, says, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. So those that cause constant trouble in the church, those that trouble the church, Paul here is calling for them to be cut off, to be excommunicated. And as we saw before in 2 Thessalonians, those also that are disorderly. But again, the principle of bearing with each other needs to be observed. The church are a group of sinners and they have their weaknesses. So who then should do the disciplining? Well, it shouldn't be an individual person. In all these cases, Paul calls the church, the local church, collectively to excommunicate the person. He writes to the Corinthians persuading them to excommunicate the person, but it's not like the Pope, or he's not sending an order. He's persuading them that that's what they must do, and it's not for a church council to excommunicate somebody. It's not for a presbytery to excommunicate somebody or an individual pastor. It is the church collectively. They are the people, as we see in these examples. It was to the church that Paul exhorted them to remove the people in these various examples that caused problems and were living openly scandalous lives. So finally then, what is the purpose of church discipline? And we can see that is clearly something that is ordained in Scripture. It is primarily for God's glory. Disorder and sin and scandal in the church bring dishonor on God's name. The church is Christ's bride. The church are his representatives on the earth. And so sin, open scandal, undealt with, bring dishonor to the name of Christ. Also, it's infectious, just like it says about the leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so it has the effect of, in some ways, dragging everyone down with it. And another reason for it is, if it's done rightly and if God uses it, to bring to repentance, bring the person who has sinned and who has gone on in that sin and can be used to bring them back, to bring them to see the error of their ways and to bring them back to Christ's feet. And then in love, the church can receive that person back into the fold. The man in 1 Corinthians 5, I think later on, maybe in the second epistle, it seems that he was actually restored to the church at Corinth after he was removed from them. It appears that he did actually repent and he did change his ways. And so it's not to be thought of as something where there's no mercy in it. It's in God's hands. It can be used for the blessing of souls. Although it's not by any means an easy subject and a very difficult thing for any church to be involved in and for any church to do. But we see from the example of the New Testament church that it is a God-ordained thing and it is necessary in certain circumstances to preserve order in the church for God's glory and that his name might not be dishonoured.
Thanks for joining us today. Look out for the next episode soon. And remember to subscribe, Like or follow the podcast to get notified each time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're enjoying the podcast, then consider sharing it with your family and friends. That's all for this episode. So until next time, goodbye.